two comedy greats and even better mates. This is Kennedy Malloy. Buckle up, Australia. Here they come. Straight from a very long lunch. And frankly, this could go anywhere. This is Kennedy Malloy.
You got that right, big fella. Welcome to the Big Friday edition of Kennedy Malloy with me, Mick Malloy, and bugger me, it's Jane Kennedy.
Hello, Australia.
Back on deck.
Wow.
Great to have you back, Jane.
Thank you. It was only a few days
It felt like much longer.
Did you miss me?
Yeah, we really did. Oh, I did. Dave did.
I really missed you.
Did you really?
I did, yeah.
You changed your tune,
so much light and energy to the studio.
I love hearing that. I'll tell you what, my family's happy that I'm out of the house.
Oh, yeah, but now you're carrying an injury. I don't know where you've been or what you've been doing, but we'll get to the bottom of this. Right. You've been winged.
I've been winged.
All right, we'll get to the bottom of that.
Hey. I have. Big show.
Yeah.
How about Matt Preston for starters?
Matt Preston is coming in.
Yeah.
I'm guessing there's a relaunch of MasterChef coming down the pike.
I think it starts on Monday.
Our biggest guest. I'm so happy. Every time these guys come in and play for us, it is absolutely world-class, brilliant.
Exciting news.
Birds of Tokyo are back after a big day at the MCG yesterday. They're coming in
to perform the new one.
We'll chat with the lads.
Yep.
That will be good. Clown of the week. It'll be shorter because it's been a shorter week. How many days have we done this week?
2 days. Today's the third.
Ooh,
yeah, for the
working
week.
Working overtime.
Exhausted.
Everybody's
They've got the weekends here.
Already? That's amazing.
Hey, what's your favourite villain? Movie villain? Because there's a new Bond villain. Guess who it is? Rami Malek.
That's a good idea.
Freddie Mercury.
Well, he's not as Freddie Mercury, although that would be good. Freddie Mercury was your Bond villain.
He'd be quite foppish, really.
In tiny tennis shorts.
That's it, big teeth.
Oh, geez, that'd
be
fantastic.
A good idea.
Jaws.
Yeah, he could too. That's right.
We've got plenty more coming, so strap yourself in.
Have we mentioned Merrick?
Oh, Merrick Watts.
I am an idiot.
Merrick Watts coming in live.
Now, you know Merrick pretty well, don't you?
I do know Merrick well.
You've worked with him many of occasions. Yes. He's a funny fella. We haven't had him on the show before. I hear he's just got back from Iraq, entertaining the troops.
Oh, wow.
So,
awesome.
Plenty to talk about.
Okay, strap
yourself in. Let's get into it. Hello, Jane.
Hello, Mick.
Hey, we mentioned Matt Preston.
Yes.
He's in the building.
Mm.
I just saw him out the front, I kid you not, hoeing into a 7-kilogram Kit Kat. Now, if anyone... Has he got his own vending machine in here, or did he bring that with him?
That's not what so happened? Crazy. I think it's one of the girls
it
who
is,
works
Michaela.
Boyfriends
yeah.
Made a super-size Kit Kat. And mind you had a little nibble, didn't you?
Nibble.
Yeah, a nibble.
I gnawed it.
It's huge.
It's massive. Hey, now, what have you done? I'm looking
all
at
right.
you. Welcome home, by
thank
the way.
Thank you very much. Look, thank you for filling in. Yeah, I had to do a couple of days away, so I wasn't here.
And some family duties and some
family
other stuff.
Duties,
that's okay. I stood up for you.
Yeah, I know.
There was a bit of speculation, but I was in your corner the
whole time. My first time off, by the way.
And well-deserved, too. You deserve
thank
it.
Thank you from this show.
Why are you holding your tummy like Meghan Markle?
Oh, stop it.
You are.
If that would be a miracle baby.
Are you pregnant?
No, I'm not pregnant.
Jane Kennedy's
I might add
pregnant.
A few extra Easter eggs. Right, maybe that's what's going on.
Are you doing that pose where you're resting your hand on that?
Please do not mention pregnant and my name in the same breath.
Jane Kennedy could be pregnant.
Up the duff.
Wow.
No, I'm not.
Twins?
But I did
Is it
have
twins again.
Twins?
No. Triplets. You need you're missing
times.
Triplets.
I'm not pregnant.
Now, what have you done to your hand?
Okay, so over the holidays, I thought I was cooking a barbie, and I thought, I might just cook some potatoes in their jackets.
Right. Yum.
Put them in the oven. Had just turned the oven on, and like a branding iron, the oven element basically burnt across my entire left hand. And it just hurt a bit, possibly second degree.
No kidding.
Yeah, no, it's very, very painful. And you know
harden
what the whole...
up. That's what I say, harden no. up.
Do you know what it can't... did? Said to me, serves you right, you greedy cow, for wanting to eat carbs.
Is that the chat you had with yourself?
That is what I concluded. This is a carb-related injury.
It's like you branded yourself.
Yeah. It is like I branded
myself.
In
the kitchen, we'll ask Matt Preston about this in just a second, but in the kitchen, what is worse, a cut or a burn?
Well, I say they're both on a par with each other. A cut, you can actually fall down because you can faint often, and very deep cuts are very serious. Burns, I reckon it's a draw, but Matt's going to know.
No, the worst, burns on your tongue when you're eating.
Oh, yeah, too that hot. Is true. Hot chips. Yeah.
Or is that when you put your tongue in the cooking pancakes?
I was in Hong Kong, and the only like 3-star Michelin Asian restaurant. It was this Chinese restaurant. It was unbelievable. Mm. And the food was so good, I couldn't wait for it to cool.
Oh, my God.
So I just kept...
You kept burning yourself.
I'm okay. Give me another one.
Hot. Hey, I'll tell you, also what I did, I went away with my kids to Cooper Pedy.
Oh, wow.
A couple of my kids.
What the hell?
And spent about a week around those parts. You could have been murdered there. Look, I wanted to give a shout out to all the great people of Cooper Pedy. We stayed in underground hotel, like a
for your own
old
safety,
mine.
For your own safety with a loaded shotgun.
The boys were very keen for me to double lock the doors and make sure that we were all safe.
That's a real it's a wake in fright style town.
It's a little. It's no wonder they've made a lot of movies there. It's very set up for an apocalypse.
And reasonably hot.
Really hot, very hot. But I tell you, we went into a working opal mine, Tom's working opal mine. And, you know, anybody can set up. If you want to start digging for opals or set up a mine, you just go to the council and you get it. But I bought you a little present, Mick. Here's some opals.
Oh, I've got some opals.
Well, it's opal chips.
Can
don't
I say
eat
this?
Them.
I really was looking for blood opals. are these blood opals?
I don't think there is. They haven't got the South African stage yet. So
all right, welcome back, opal. Jane Kennedy. After this song, we're going to talk to the great Matt Preston, who's booting up MasterChef again. We'll get him to look at your bird and see what's happening.
Oh, really?
A drive home that's a little unpredictable. This is Kennedy Malloy.
The man with the best gig on TV getting paid to eat is madly sorting out his bold suits and cravats because MasterChef returns on Monday.
Very elegant, bang on trend.
This is insane. It's like a professional made it.
Oh my gosh.
Amazing.
Those chips are a knockout.
But has Matt's signature look been hijacked by someone we know?
Yeah, our producer ran into Matt Preston. You tell Malloy I do the beard thing. Apparently that was the only way of separating us.
Prepare for a battle of the beards as we welcome back Matt Preston.
I'm spinning out here.
Yeah.
It's Mick. It's Matt. It's Mick. You merged into the same person.
But that was always the thing. It was always you could only tell Mick and me apart was because of one of us be wearing a flannel shirt. And now Mick's getting all elegant and going out for long lunches. And I thought it's okay. I've got the beard. We look different. And then all of a sudden, he comes back for front bar and he's got the beard. I've gone, it's okay, because he's got the bushy, the hobo beard.
And there's a whack drive by.
And then
well, yours is more
the
Don one. Burke look.
Well, yours is more of the Rolf Harris.
Oh, wow.
Hey, weapons down, please. Come on.
Can I tell you something? Yeah. I'm seriously thinking of going a cravat.
You did the bunga bunga party. You wore a cravat. Don't. I know everything you do. I know that.
Do that and a smoking jacket. Yeah, just to have.
Forget single white females. Forget single
Matt,
black and yellow.
There's only one you. There's only one you. We know that. We've already checked out. What the hell are those pants you're wearing?
Oh, how good are the pants?
What's going on? Where are they?
I'm just saying right now. So these pants are like candy stripe pants in red,
subtle,
white, and black. Do you know what? Ever since I've worn those,
a wrestler or
ever since I've worn those pants, St Kilda haven't been beaten.
They are
the AFL team lucky pants.
I'm sure, that
right
wasn't
now.
The intention.
You know, it wasn't the intention. I'd rather lose. No, because I had found a very nice green and white striped kind of deck chair material that I turned into pants last year. And I was in IKEA, as you are, and I was walking through the curtain fabric department, and there was this fabric. And I went, it's red and white and grey and white and black and white stripes.
You bought them fabric from IKEA?
Oh, yeah. And I thought, they'll make good pants. And so I've had them all made up. So
which no man has said ever.
no human being has said ever.
Except for you.
I think they look quite stylish.
There you are.
Next week, Mick will be wearing, don't worry.
That's all right. I'll go and knock over a big top circus somewhere and do exactly the same thing. Monday, here we go again.
Yeah, MasterChef's back.
Season 11.
It's same team.
Yeah, still, George,
out
Gary, myself there. But we do have three new people. We've got three new mentors. So Billy Mackay and Maddie Sinclair. Okay. So that's nice. So Maddie from Queensland.
When did you get Jane on? She's a cook. She's got five books out.
Oh, she knows a bit too much.
Have you seen her injury? Now look at her injury.
I'm not going on as a contestant.
I've seen her hand.
I'd go on as an advisor.
Are you going as an expert?
No, an expert.
Let's not get ahead of ourselves.
I'm slightly concerned. The whole point about being a contestant is you don't want to end up with bandaged hands.
Now,
like
this is something
right
I wanted to talk about.
She's
injuries.
Milking it a bit.
I'm not.
That is the biggest bandage in the world, by the way. What, did you actually lose the hand? You know who you remind me of? You remind me of that Jamie Lannister from Game of Thrones.
Really?
You've got no left hand anymore.
Looks like a boxer before they put their gloves on.
Yeah,
you know?
Are
got
you
the wraps
right?
on.
Are you both right there? And had your fun?
Hey, guessing it's fish fingers around at James tonight.
Well, unless it's fish fingers, not burnt Jane fingers.
Hey, steady. Now you're best buddies because you're going meat. Can I just
How is
ask?
Your wrist? Medium rare?
I wanted to talk about injuries in the kitchen because often with contestants and there's lights, camera, action, they're nervous. There's a lot of injuries that go on, aren't they? What happens on set?
Do you have a medic?
Well, no, we have a nurse. You actually see the nurse popping up regularly because we always get a bit freaked by the sudden appearance of blue Band-Aids on people's fingers.
Can you explain to everybody, because I was telling Mick, why the Band-Aids are blue?
Now, the Band-Aids are blue, so if they fall off and drop into the food, you can see them. Which is because then you don't want to eat that dish, obviously.
Because it's not flesh coloured, you wouldn't see it.
You get halfway through your pumpkin soup and go, ew, no. The terrible thing about it on MasterChef, because we've been filming with the same crew now for 6 years, the camera boys are so knowledgeable about when the disasters are going to happen. They early on, they go, they're getting the mandolin, they're going for the mandolin. and the cameras are zooming on the mandolin, waiting for the carrot finger.
I've done that injury as well.
It's like motor racing. You watch it because you might just see an accident.
You're absolutely right, Jane. It's that it's stuff that would be easy to do in the kitchen, but, you know, doing it in a MasterChef kitchen with the clock on, the pressure goes up, you make foolish mistakes.
The adrenaline's pumping.
And the adrenaline pumping. Right. And, of course, when the adrenaline's pumping, what's happening is that if you do cut yourself, you've got the blue glove on. That's a really bad one. You've got a bad cut, and it starts filling up. And they have to come and, you know.
Mate. Hey, when we are going to quickly go to a song, but we want to come back and we want to find out more about the places you're going to go for this series as well, because I know you travel around the country and I love hearing about experiences that you've had. Yeah. Can we do that?
Okay.
Thanks.
Season 11 it is, launches this Monday on 10. MasterChef Matt Preston with us. More after this.
This is Kennedy Malloy.
We've got Matt Preston in studio, by the way, MasterChef Australia, season 11.
Back, baby. Yep.
Monday, 7:30 on 10.
I said it'd never last. I went to the first upfronts of the first season. Yeah. I said, good luck with MasterChef.
Yeah. Who really wants to? But you're absolutely right. Who wants to watch a show with three fat, ugly judges? and when you can't, it's like when they're singing, shaking, you hear them sing, with the dancing stage, you can hear them dance.
It was the first cooking show of the modern era, isn't it? I mean, there was a few from time to time, but this is
First competition cooking show.
Have you cooked a rissole? Could you do this as your first dish back or something?
You know what's interesting? Well, in my last book, I did have a rissole because I like a rissole, but I like a rissole with that old country glaze where you put a bit of vinegar and mint jelly in the pan.
Hello.
And you melt it down. Then you throw your brown rissole in there. You give it a toss and it gets this sticky, sweet glaze on the outside.
why don't you two get a room? Honestly.
Hey, have you ever had food poisoning or anything go through the set of MasterChef? I want to know because
there's a reason we bring that up.
We did, and it wasn't food poisoning, but it was we did have sickness. We were all in Italy, in Italy, and the start. I think one of the camera guys got sick, and it just spread through the. So we had to stop. We had to stop cooking. We got the phone call saying George, Gary, and I each got a phone call saying don't leave your rooms, don't hang out with each other because obviously you know it's very contagious.
That'd be hard for you guys. Because you love each other's company.
The phone went down like dink, and the next thing that rang was it's Gary going lunch. So we had the most amazing 3 days when everyone else was locked in their rooms. We went to watch Lazio play. We went to tennis. We ate
opera pizza. Went to the opera.
Well, the reason we bring that up is that there has been quite a dramatic incident of food poisoning. It's now been confirmed yesterday at the MCG in Melbourne. It was a function at a special luncheon. And apparently they're putting the blame on a rabbit and duck terrain.
Over 20 people went down all at the same time. That can't be fun.
Yeah, that sounded weird, didn't it? They were fainting. They were fainting in the stands.
Dizzy.
Was this the Essendon President's event?
Yes.
Okay. Well, then, and look, it's a horrible thing. But at the end of the day, if you go to the football, and you have a tureen.
Yeah.
You know.
Exactly. I mean,
what you're doing.
I mean, let's face it, how many games of football have you been to had a dodgy pie and not been sick?
It's a buyer beware scenario. If you order tureen at the football, good luck to you.
It sounds a bit revolting.
What about
now,
on a plane? The worst case I ever heard was on a plane.
No, cruise ships.
Because
they're like in the middle of nowhere and it goes down. It's a disaster.
If you're on a plane, there's one toilet.
Yeah.
And you get dysentery. Mm. Okay, who had the beef?
Can we change the subject, please? I'm feeling a bit woozy.
But in a way, it's amazing. And it shows how good the controls are when we go out to eat.
And how important they are
that people, by and large, don't get sick. Then it is an exercise in trust. And obviously, something sits through. But again, the great thing is we'll find out what happened, what went wrong. You know, people are very good now at actually not just denying it, but admitting it and trying to sort things out.
Hey, have you got some good soppy backstories this year?
Who's going to be the first to go to the blub? Who's going to be the first to go to blub on MasterChef?
I've seen a few that I've already sort of gone.
Oh, well, who got Yukio there?
Yukio is crazy. Who gave Yukio a knife? We love Yukio. But Yukio be there emoting with a giant carving knife. We'd all be going, okay, all right, Yukio, put the knife down.
What I love about it, have a listen to this. Is Yukio getting all emotional over a dish.
I can memorize recipes, but in the end, I don't have someone to teach me and guide me.
Yukio, you want to be in the top 50?
Absolutely, yes. Thank you so much. I really appreciate it. Thank you so much.
And that's top 50. Imagine if he won the thing.
Yeah. It may not be quite that overall.
what are the contestants like this year,
they are very down to earth, very funny, and they're great storytellers, which is great. Are they good cooks?
This is what I want to know.
We only pick good cooks. We pick good cooks.
We've identified a winner.
We've got a dream. One of the favourites went home recently, and we're going, oh, that's a... But that's the thing with MasterChef. You never know, because it is the best dish. The best is
under pressure, though. I mean, there's people forget, they think it's easy. The worst thing I ever do when I've had a cook is having a cook on TV.
Oh,
it's so uptight because you just don't have time. Why are you looking at me like that?
As long as you don't burn yourself, I'd be happy.
Yeah, I can understand why.
I'm hiding my hand away now because you've both been so unsympathetic. I
and you look like Nelson now. You look like you've only got one arm. It's fantastic.
She's resting it on her stomach like Meghan Markle. I thought she was pregnant.
They are. I mean, you'll see them. You'll see them on Monday night.
All right, great.
But we don't do a lot of those. Really, there's a little bit of look gazing out of windows with a cup of tea, but not the ridiculous.
Hey,
I can't wait to see you boys. Also, Jella.
Just quickly, can you tell George to stay out of trouble? Can you? Just tell him. It's not so punchy.
Is it possible?
What can you do?
We've had a chat with Gary. We said, Gary, you're not pulling your weight. We need a scandal from you this year, Gary. George and I have been in the bay for the wrong reasons. You need to lift your game, mate. You need to lift your game. So we're waiting to see what Gary's going to do.
Good stuff. Come on, Gary. Your time to
MasterChef Australia Season 11, everyone, launches Monday, April 29, 7:30 p.m. with the one and only, our mate, Matt Preston, on 10.
Thanks, Matt.
This is Jane Kennedy and Mick Molloy. Kennedy Molloy. There are many contenders.
Hey, I'm the leader, bro.
Please explain.
I'm let you finish.
Oh, good for you.
But it can't always be this guy.
You are fake news.
Who will be...
He was a famous clown.
Clown of the week.
We're up and running. There's going to be a restricted... clown this week because we haven't had the full 5 days.
We haven't, but we still managed to find quite a few.
Yes. The few presented themselves. Can I begin, Jane, if you don't mind? I'd like to start with the fine musical stylings of Nicolas Cage.
He's
been in the news a bit. He had a marriage that lasted 4 days.
That's right.
In Vegas. Who knew that could go pear-shaped? He's often up to no good and weird-ass behaviour, but he's taken it to a new level.
What's he done?
With this rendition of Purple Rain. He apparently just keeps popping up randomly in LA karaoke. Look, listen up, Birds of Tokyo.
Yeah, that's
this
right.
This is how you go.
This is how you do
you
it.
You really want to attack a classic. Here's Nicolas Cage with Purple Rain.
I think you better close it. And let me guide you into the purple rain. Purple rain. Purple rain.
Ouch.
He's very angry.
He's a nut.
Yeah, crazy.
He would have been wearing leopard skin tights.
Mm.
Well, I'll tell you
a
what.
A leather jacket and pointy shoes.
We can also clown his ex-wife. She wanted, she's just applied for spousal support. They were married for 4 days.
Oh, go away. Is that right?
Yes.
Oh, man.
No, yes. Well, she gave a lot to that.
She really did. She put in four days of...
That's crazy.
Hey, what about Pauline Hanson? This happened while you were away, Jane. Mm. I'm not sure if you were across it. But she sorted out climate change.
Mm. Yeah.
And told us why we don't need to worry about it with an outstanding thesis.
Okay.
Ooh. You got it there.
This has been a fact of life right from the time that Earth was here in place, that we've been going through climate changes in Earth. There was once an ice age. There was once a flood throughout Australia here, water.
I didn't think you were a climate change denier,
people weren't around at that time.
Though,
we didn't have the industrialists here in this country at that time. There has been changes. What happened to the dinosaurs? How did they die off? Humans didn't create it. So there's been a lot of changes that happened. They haven't released the true facts or figures as far as temperature changes over the years. They've fiddled with facts and figures. This has been man-made, this fear-mongering about climate change.
She sorted it for me.
She knows best.
She sorted out the whole dinosaur theory.
I never thought I'd hear him say that.
There's no industrialised nation. There was a river flowing through Australia.
She and Clive Palmer can really have a lot to talk about dinosaurs together.
I'd like to see a union for that marriage.
Oh, look, this is tough. The Australian batsman, Ashton Turner.
It's not tough. He's an idiot.
He's not an idiot. It was his fifth duck in the T20.
In the IPL, he's had five ducks, three of them gold. Here's how the news reported it.
Oh, gone. Turner's gone again. It's a third first ball duck. Would you believe it? This is the worst nightmare.
Oh, no.
Coming true for Ashton Turner.
No, see, if I was just as a mother watching my son out there batting, I'd just be ill.
Yeah. I'd be checking to see if any of the Australians had tampered with the ball. That's what terrible. I'd be doing. Hey, what about this bloke who got killed by his own pet? Let's go to Florida.
An Alachua County man is dead after being attacked by his own exotic bird. According to Alachua County Fire Rescue, 75-year-old Marvin Hayos was near his pet cassowary when he fell and the bird attacked. A cassowary is an exotic 6-foot-tall flightless bird native to Australia and New Guinea. They've been called the world's most dangerous bird due to their 4-inch dagger-like claws and incredibly strong legs.
And they're 6 feet high. Let's add to that.
Cassowary. Why don't you have cassowaries? You got the budgies?
Oh, they'd slaughter the budgies.
If we got you a cassowary, would you keep it?
No, well, I've got children. That's not an ideal thing to have in the backyard.
But the bird's alive still, so they're putting the bird that killed someone up for auction.
You know what I do? I take the cassowary to the cockfights. Where's your? It's just over here. Ding, ding, ding. Off we go. Okay, I'll tell you what we'll do. We'll take some calls, 1-333-53. We'll come back. Apparently there's a few women.
Oh, yeah. Yes, there's a lot going on socials about your the mixed package you put together for you, Jane. It was quite heartwarming.
Yeah. What do you mean?
It's a feel-good. We missed you.
You speak highly of me.
No, it's all good.
We'll play it when we get back?
We'll play it right after the break. Yes.
A drive home that's pretty loose. This is Kennedy Malloy.
I'm very excited to hear Birds of Tokyo coming off a big day at the MCG yesterday. Yeah. Did a great job.
We've got a tour coming as well, which we'll get the info on.
And we'll talk to a couple of the lads immediately after
Excellent.
This.
Excellent. Can't wait.
In the meantime, we're still doing Clown of the Week. Yes. There's been a few requests for this.
A few? Inundated.
Well, now, the way you're looking at me, I'm worried.
You weren't there, and we missed you a lot.
We did.
And I tried to express how much you meant to us.
Really?
How great the loss was. In a little package.
Okay.
Hurry back, Jane. We miss you. With you not here, there's no one to pretend to be Mick's Brazilian supermodel girlfriend.
No cubs for you, Mick. You're too fat. We can't walk down the red carpet together.
Who are you channeling now? How did this turn into a roast?
And no one to mispronounce websites.
Ninenow.com. There you go. It's back. It's all good.
I don't think she realised what you just said.
Why? What did I say?
Well, Jane.
There's no one to have a go at mum's inactive wear.
Some ladies might not be...
Jesus! What is wrong with you?
If you're wearing active wear, be active.
Or spew a bit of hate towards Meghan Markle.
I'm sick of people who are pregnant and made out to be saints. A bitch is still a bitch. It's true.
There's no one to cry about dead dogs.
And the dog died.
Oh, Jane.
Mick.
Or flirt with Kevin Peterson.
Look, he's a very attractive man. I've been a supporter of his Save the Rhino.
You would trample a rhino to get his AP.
And there's no one to critique Mick's singing.
No thanks. Hey, this song actually gives me wrinkles.
You mean more wrinkles.
I beg your pardon.
Or argue about Serena Williams with.
Who cares what you think because you don't even like the tennis, so...
I hate tennis.
Well, it doesn't matter what you think.
Yeah, but it's not about tennis.
Oh, now you're respectful to the world of tennis. Ooh, that is very patronising.
Oh, yeah, here we go.
So, wherever you may be, Jane Kennedy...
One word, rehab.
We miss the ninth most powerful woman on Australian radio.
Every single woman on that list has slept their way to the top. Clearly, I didn't sleep with the right people. Fat lot of good you were.
And we miss your positive, radiant attitude.
Is it nearly over? No, we've got miles to go.
Is it nearly over?
We are on air.
That's the enthusiasm we need.
Hurry back, Jane. Faris and the disabled toilet are waiting for you.
South Sudanese security guard Faris walked in on me. Shut the door, dude.
Nothing he saw in his homeland was terrifying.
Yeah.
Oh, I don't know what to say. I want to say that that's just one of the loveliest things I've ever heard, but I sound like a right royal cow. Never mind.
Yes, but our cow.
Yeah, that's right. We love that cow.
Well, a special moment in the studio. We're
clear
very
the
lucky.
Decks, everyone. Turn, if you're driving in your car, you're sitting at home, turn your radio up.
Crank it up. Because you're going to be in for an absolute treat now.
The last time Birds of Tokyo joined us, we were treated to an awesome performance of Unbreakable. And they'd also just performed that song at the Invictus Games with Prince Harry-level security.
There was 8 snipers all directed at stage.
Just making sure you didn't play out of tune.
You look down, there's the red dots on your chest.
Pick it up, boys.
Now we've got them back, fresh from performing in front of 92,000 people at the MCG yesterday. And with the news that they're hitting the road for a tour this September, performing their latest smash, Good Lord, would you please welcome back Birds of Tokyo.
Tokyo, wow, live on Kennedy Malloy. Hey, by the way, the guys are on tour around Australia in September at the Gov in Adelaide on the 13th, Astor Theatre in Perth on the 14th, the Triffid in Brisbane is sold out, Forum in Melbourne the 20th, and the Enmore Theatre in Sydney on the 21st of September. Absolute world-class performance from one of our favourites. Birds of Tokyo.
Keen
and
out.
Kenny and
Ian. How are you, mate?
Thank you very much. Hey, how you guys
doing? See you, Glenn. How's it going? Okay, you've made Jane Kennedy cry again.
Sorry about that.
Sorry about that. I need to give you a hug.
Love it.
Now,
appreciate it.
You write such beautiful songs, and you come in here and you sing them so beautifully. This one has special significance. What's the story behind it for those in our audience who are?
And are you okay talking about it? I know it's okay to sing about. Is it another thing talking about it?
It's hard to talk about it. It's easy to sing, but you know, there's some things that I can go into and something I just can't. It's just too
heavy.
Raw. Really, it's just too heavy, a bit too real.
But I would say that song's not going to be a wedding song.
No, and it's funny because we do have, you know, appropriate wedding songs.
You do. I'd say this one is not one of them. Would be beautiful. This one, no, maybe not, but you sing this. So it is so raw the way you sing it, and it's a beautiful song, and I'm sorry that that happened to you. Hey, look what happened to Adele. That's all I can say. Well, she sang a broke-up song that went off the charts, and, you know, I just think...
Are you saying Adele's available?
Well, she is available,
actually.
I'm throwing
my hat in the ring. Hello.
She is available.
Now, Glenn, what about you? What is there anything terrible or tragic in your private life that we can talk about?
Oh, I feel like I need to make something up now.
You need a backstory, like, you know, all those reality shows now for us, Glenn.
How long does it take you to come up with it? Obviously, so something happens terrible in your life, sure, and you sit down, you need to process it and come to terms with it, and then... present it. How long did a process like that take?
Well, it took a while because after sort of things went south, I kind of hit an all-time low, and I had to sort of stay down there for a while just trying to make sense of things and figure it out, and it kind of messed me up, and it messed me up creatively. Like, I wasn't really, you know, I didn't have my game on at all creatively. I sort of had to figure that out too, and finally when I came round, started thinking about it and sort of getting back on the horse, so to speak, and approached the band with a few ideas, and as I was down on the floor thinking about it, I was like, man, I can't be the only one who has felt this way or feels like this. And as I learn, as I grow as a man, I find the more I can actually speak about how I feel, it's the best way to heal.
I think people truly appreciate that you have done that.
So, you know, and out of that, I thought, you know, if I can't be the only one. And out of that, I started thinking, I got to put this into a song. It's got to come out somewhere, you know. So,
are you getting feedback from people who have had similar experiences? Are you becoming a bit of a lightning rod for this experience?
Yeah. There's a lot of people that are connecting with this, and I don't know. You know, beautiful things can come from the hardest of places, and I hope people who...
It feels very relatable. I was driving along when I heard the song on the radio, actually, and just even hearing you talk about Fleetwood Mac, just the way you've captured and grabbed moments in people's lives, wouldn't affect Mick Malloy because he's not the Fleetwood Mac.
I've been under sing-along at 2 in the morning.
Hey, guys, we all have. Now, let's go to another juxtaposition to that is that you performed in front of 92,000 people yesterday.
Well done, by the way. Huge. That was great. So big
stage. Thank you very much.
Did it so well.
That was probably the first time I've been, like, properly nervous before a gig in years. Hands shaking.
Was that because of the size of it? Because there was a bit of a chatter beforehand about whether this was appropriate or not, which was bullshit, by the way. It was
totally appropriate.
Thank you for saying that. We feel the same. It's the absolute size of the event. You know, being part of something that, like, at the G, especially when it's sold out, we're talking 90,000+ people.
Amazing.
It's a special
massive
place, isn't it?
It's amazing, yeah.
So in Melbourne, I think that it's like a big outdoor cathedral, and it's the spiritual centre of Melbourne, and it's the last tribal thing you're allowed to do is go to the footy, and celebrating a day like Anzac Day, this atmosphere is quite electric. So it would have been great. I can only imagine what it would be like to have been the centre of that. That was ground zero for me.
And I'll tell you what, if you want to go and see these boys, you've got to do it now. They've announced their tour, which is so exciting. The tour dates, Dave,
yes,
can we please
so the 13th
them?
Of September at the Gov in Adelaide, then the Astor Theatre in Perth on the 14th, 18th, sold out at the Triffid in Brisbane. Hopefully another show might be added to that, who knows. Forum in Melbourne on the 20th and the 21st, which is Saturday, the Enmore in Sydney. So birdsoftokyo.com to get tickets.
Get on Tinder. Kenny. It's my advice to you. It fixes everything. Let me know how you go. You and me, maybe you and me double dating, hey, and we'll write a song together.
Now we're talking. Now we're talking.
Oh, my God.
Birds of Tokyo.
This very could be trouble.
To join us next, Kennedy Malloy.
This is Kennedy Malloy. Yourself in, people. Here comes the big second hour of Kennedy Malloy.
That's right. Now, new and improved with actual Jane Kennedy in the studio. Kennedy Malloy, it's our big last hour of the week.
It's great to be back, Australia.
Hey, it's a big hour too. We're going to have Week in Review. We're going to talk about villains.
Who's the greatest villain of all time?
A movie villain. Yeah. Let us know. Give us a call because Rami Malek.
That's going
to
be a good
slated
idea.
To play the next Bond villain.
I would have thought you'd like to play a villain.
I would be a good villain.
You would be very be typecast.
I'd need a trick like a hat that can kill people or something.
Well, an eye patch that's got something in it.
An eye patch.
Do that?
All right. Now's not the time to workshop. We'll take your calls, we'll take your tweets, but let's start the hour with this bloke.
Merrick Watts had an interesting beginning with Peter Hellier on Community Radio.
You got kicked off? Because you swore too much.
I didn't realise it was a strict Christian radio program.
But he went on to rule the airways for decades with Rosso and get up to a bit of mischief on Triple M.
None of my bosses are listening to the show today, and I've made a captain's call on this, and it could backfire.
But since hanging up the headphones, Merrick's returned to stand-up and found a truly terrible way to make a living.
Greg Smith is just the combination of comedy, wine and people, and just putting them into a winery and just making a massive day of it.
Also with a true crime podcast and just back from entertaining the troops in Iraq, which you please welcome the very busy Merrick Watts.
Hello. Merrick. Great to talk to you. I think this is the first time we've actually spoken since we pinched your shift.
Officially it is, and we must officially apologise for taking our place.
What's incredible is how available I am, and it's taken this long. That's just incredible. Great to see you guys.
You too, and I know you too. You've worked together on so many projects. We'll get to that in a minute, but I am just keen.
Jane and I were working earlier this week on not coming to work, and we both did a fantastic job of it.
Well done.
Yeah,
well
got done. A hand injury too, haven't you, Merrick?
Hey, how was Iraq? And welcome back. So I didn't hear about this, and I know the rules. You're not allowed to talk about it till you return.
Tell us.
Can you talk us through it now?
Yeah, I went to Iraq just a couple of weeks ago to entertain the troops who are at a base there called Taji, which is about 20 k's north of Baghdad. So a bit of a hotspot. And I'm here to tell you, it's not like Bali.
Schoolies week. Didn't have the same kind of atmosphere.
Very difficult to ask a Polish soldier to braid your hair. not a wise idea. It was a pretty unique experience. Mick, you've done these tours before. I know a lot of comedians, you know, kind of endeavour to go out and support our troops.
Have you done it before, Merrick?
Yeah, I went to Timor and it started the early 2000s, and it was still a bit kind of weird and funky. But I mean, Iraq is pretty hardcore. It's pretty proper.
Here's my beef. Can you hold some of these wars in good spots, like Cancun or the Bahamas? Can someone declare war in the Bahamas?
Sadly, they don't tend to
go over there.
Yeah, it doesn't work out that way, does it?
It's like the problematic countries just want to get involved in war.
That's right. Put them on the map. Hey, it's a great experience, isn't it? And we get so much from it.
And good for you for doing it. I always love hearing that.
The men and women over there, it's a fascinating insight into how well represented we are. Yeah. On the ground by our troops.
Can I ask how your family reacted to you just saying, I'm just trotting off for a...
Not very well, particularly when I wrote the just-in-case letter that I had to give to Georgie, my wife, which said, I wrote a just-in-case letter which said, just in case I am killed whilst I'm away, I want you to stay miserable forever.
You are never to remarry.
And I want you to tell the children to look at their father as a martyr, no longer as dad. I don't want the word dad used anymore. Dad's a martyr now.
Hey, what was the first project you two worked together on?
Well, I think it was The Hollow Men. Is that correct?
No, thank God you're here.
Thank God you're here.
That's right. Oh, it is. Yeah.
You were very good on that program. Some people are a natural. They walk through the
door. It's a very hard job to do that, walking that door on Thank God You're Here, and very few people could do it.
And you did it with such a dopey persona, which it's a credit to you.
Well, I like to bring some sort of genuine feel to whatever work I'm doing. But, you know, there's a guy called Jim who worked on the sets and worked with the guys behind the scenes, and I was talking
talking to him about motorbikes at the back of the door and the blue door. And Shane Bourne introduced me and they said, Merrick, you're on. And I went, oh. Oh, sorry, and I ran. And so when I ran through the door, everyone's going, oh, wow, a bit of show business there with a run through the door. And no, I'm genuinely late. I can't tell you how surprised I am by this scenario.
Well, there's another industry that you're working in that is very close to my heart, and it's the wine industry. We want to hear a bit more about this. Yeah. And also, an antithesis to that also, I don't know if it is, police and quite heavy podcast that you're involved in.
You can change gears, young man.
You certainly can.
You've got a podcast out called Police Tape in conjunction with the Daily Telegraph. We want to get to the bottom of that.
All right, Merrick is with us. He's going to join us right after this.
He's busy.
Oh, yeah, huge. Great to have Merrick Watts on. Kennedy Malloy.
A drive home that's always surprising. This is Kennedy Malloy.
In studio, Merrick Watts on Kennedy Malloy as
and
well.
And Merrick has not only been, well, he's a very busy guy at the moment, but you're studying level 3 to be a sommelier, is this correct?
Yeah, it's wine studies, Jane. So basically what happens is when you come to a realisation in life that you're a tragic alcoholic and then you think...
Yeah, go on. I'm listening.
You have our full attention.
So you guys got the email. We're all on it. It was a group email.
We've seen you at the meetings.
Yeah.
And I'm drinking my Fanta from a brown paper bag. I've always had an interest in wine, but WSET 3 is a world kind of standard for wine and wine appreciation. So it's really just like going to school for wine. It's not that big a deal.
Are you doing, though, the blind tastings and you've got to guess what region it is and where it's – I mean, what country, what, you know.
Variety.
Yeah.
A bit of that sort of stuff, yeah.
What's wrong with wine in a can?
Nothing. Nothing's wrong with wine.
See, I've always said wine in a can's all right too. I got teased for it here.
No. Wine in a can's good. Wine in a goon bag is good.
Wine in a goon bag. Now, you've given me a lovely bottle of wine, and you've got a business called Grapes of Mirth. Can you just talk us through that?
I love the way you read that off the paper there. That was excellent.
Well, I did.
She's reading a label. It's on a bottle.
I knew you'd give me the bottle.
It's half empty.
I should have given her the wine. After the chat.
It's a rookie mistake, Merrick.
Ask about. Grapes of Mirth is just, it's a company I started about 2 years ago with some friends of mine in Adelaide, and we basically just put on events in wine regions and wineries, and it's just comedy in wine.
Well,
there's a bit
of good wine in South Australia happening. So.
What's your go-to wine? Give us something that's refreshing and
good value.
Good value. All of it.
Oh, look, I'll say something, and I'm going to sound like a massive wanker, but I don't really care. But I like Nero d'Avola, which is an Italian wine. We can grow it in Australia because climatically it works really well here. But it's just a really good wine.
Go well with orange juice.
It goes well with anything mixed.
I think a chop, it'll be a good win.
I'll lie down. So I just used the biggest word I could think of. I should have just said Riesling. Mickey would have got that.
Oh, well, it's. I like the old days when you could go out to a pub and get a carafe of Moselle and orange.
What would the girls like?
We've got to get something for the girls. What about a carafe of Moselle and orange? And you'd come, you'd saunter back like the king.
I think I've got flashbacks at this stage. That's not going, it's not good memories.
That's Horton's White Burgundy coming back.
There you go. Bit of blue nun.
Dear. Hey, now, we said this, you're a man of many skills. We know you're one of the finest comedians in the country, but you've also bitten off this podcast called Police Tape, and it's serious true crime, am I right?
Yeah, so about almost a year ago, News Limited came to me and said, look, we've got this idea for a podcast. It's a true crime podcast where we want somebody to interview police officers who are now off duty and so therefore on the record, and they can talk openly about the details and the facts of the cases that they were involved in. And some of them are really, really high profile cases that involve, you know, years of investigation. Some of them are just, you know, big stories.
Do you have to go to them though? Are they reluctant storytellers or how has this all worked?
Some of them need to be massaged a little bit through the process. I don't mean that physically, or in one case it was, sure. I had to get the job done.
Why did News Limited come to you? Why did they go, Merrick's the man for this?
They give him a lot of wine.
I swear to God, I think sometimes people get me confused with somebody who looks like me, who's more intelligent. And they go, get that guy. And they go, then they see me and they go, no, that's not the
You do
dime.
Have a certain off-duty cop look, which
well, you
I like.
Play,
Can we play a bit from one of the podcasts? Which episode is this we're about to hear? This is the Michael Hutchins?
Michael Hutchins, yeah. Have this is the trailer. Take a listen.
You've got Michael Hutchins hanging from the back of a door in a hotel room, dead.
Well, he actually wasn't hanging from the door at that stage because the belt had broken.
Were there drugs found in the hotel room?
It looked like paraphernalia in regards, but bits of foil and all that sort of stuff. He had a lot of things in his system. Yeah, Prozac, cocaine. A neighbour has heard him screaming into the phone, threatening and yelling and obscenities and all that. All these things. It was a perfect storm.
Police tape.
It's like a Friday night at my house.
So you don't bat an eyelid, Mick, when you're hearing
that. And the problem is... okay, well, that was a massive story and a Double Bay, wasn't it? It was a Ritz-Carlton in Double Bay.
There's
a story recently about a tank on the bridge.
Yeah, have you covered that? Episode 5, there's a guy called Ron Killer Mason. This story just it blew me away when I heard about it, and then I interviewed him and I listened back to the audio when it was when we finished editing it. And I still found it really quite mind-boggling. It was a story about a guy who stole a tank from Holsworthy Army Barracks in Sydney in the 80s. He had mental illness.
This has got Bucks Party written all over,
Eric. My God.
It got pretty hairy. He stole an armoured vehicle, drove down Parramatta Road, the busiest road in Sydney. He's literally just crushing cars as he goes. He eventually makes his way to the Harbour Bridge, stops on the bridge. At this point... Ron Mason's decided that he's got to do something, otherwise people are going to die. At this stage, it's a miracle no one's been crushed or killed. So he runs up to the armoured vehicle, climbs on top of it, pulls out his service revolver and shoots the man in the head.
And he talks about it. And that's how he puts a stop to it.
Well,
there's some interesting coppers.
You've given away the ending.
Yeah. You know what? I tried to deliver it like there was a punchline, but there was really no punchline. I've just realised the punchlines were better with comedy.
Hey, Merrick, we'd love to speak to you from time to time if you're floating around and you want
to... Will you come and see us again?
I'd love to. I'm not sure if this is a way to invite me to come back or a way to get rid of me now.
It's a little from column A and a little from column B.
It's been great, Australia. Love you.
Good on you, Merrick.
Merrick Watts. Kennedy Malloy.
This is Kennedy Malloy.
Hey, it's been a cracking show. We had Birds of Tokyo play before. Grab the podcast if you've missed any of the show. Merrick Watts, Matt Preston, and Jane's back too.
Jane's back. It's been chock-a-block.
Huge.
It's like a royal visit from Jane.
Really,
you know?
It's not a royal visit.
Thanks for swinging by.
Listen,
and remembering
lovely
us.
To see. Hey, I'll just listen, seriously.
Will you come back again?
There have been times when you've not been here, trust me.
Please.
Hey.
I'm first on, last off every time. You know that. You know my work ethic.
I know
is
your work
unrivaled
ethic.
Unrivaled in this town. Hey, you're a fan of Rami Malek.
I love Rami Malek. I loved him.
Queen.
Bohemian Rhapsody movie.
Yep. Bohemian Rhapsody was fantastic. Yep. And Rami Malek, who I think won the Oscar.
Yeah. Well, he won an Oscar, didn't he?
He won it.
I think he won
best actor.
For best actor is slated to play the new Bond villain. Are you looking forward to that?
Well. Not
as Freddie Mercury.
I'm not a Bond movie fan.
Not as Freddie Mercury, which would have been fun.
Would have been.
In his tennis shorts, big mo, big
teeth. And the teeth.
Yep. A bit of strutting around. Strutting around.
Where would he put his gun? Hey, I'm not a big Bond. I haven't as a concept because it's... In the past, Bond movies are not. They don't. Women don't come out of it great.
You're not going to get all femo on
Yeah, I am. I am. They're not for me. They're all
what's
a bit
what's your beef
pussy
with the
galore?
Bond girls?
Pussy Galore, for example.
Pussy Galore?
As her name. How's that for starters?
If I have a daughter, that's what I'm going to name.
Honestly. It's all that. And also, the whole notion of Bond is actually a bit backwards, really. Oh, Mr. Manny Man comes out. Oh, I wear a dinner suit, so I'm... Handsome, what?
And he cracks a joke after he has sex. And,
well,
come on, what do you want?
I haven't heard our latest Bond cracking many jokes. He's a dud.
But that's what happens when you take the comedy out of Bond.
But there wasn't a lot of comedy in Bond.
But listen, but it was. There were snappy one-liners. Mm. The whole one-liner.
All right,
from
settle down.
The protagonist is a Bond invention.
Bond protagonist.
You take that away. You know what you're left with?
Porn.
No. No, Jane.
What?
A stone cold killer. And I don't like Bond as a stone cold killer. I like him.
Oh,
as
you
a,
like your killers with a bit of Bond vivant.
I like a martini in one hand, a rutger in the other, and pashing a hot chick. That's my
dream come true.
My ultimate.
All right, but I think it's a good idea.
Okay, so well, let's just got the question going, because there's been some good Bond villains, and they're notorious, from stroking a white cat to having a hat that can take your head off to a guy with jaws that can chomp you.
Clever.
They're often trying to come up with new and exciting villains. 133353, give us a call. Who's your favourite villain of all time? Can I run a couple?
Yes. Yeah, yeah.
Not just in Bond films.
Doesn't
you mean
have to be
across
Bond
the
films.
Board? Oh, okay. Yeah,
it could be anyone. It could be. You said earlier Barnaby Joyce would make a great villain.
I did.
I watched on one night recently. They had a Coen Brothers.
Oh yeah.
Back to back, there were four films in a row. Including my favourite film of all time, Miller's Crossing. If you ever get the chance, go see Miller's Crossing.
Yeah.
But amongst them was No Country for Old Men, which is quite a frightening film based on a very good book. But the villain in that is played by Javier Bardem, and I think you'll be hard-pressed to find a bloke. He basically runs around with an oxygen tank, people with high energy.
You would love that.
And it is frightening. It is sincerely frightening stuff.
Yeah.
That for me, you go hard pressed to beat that. Have you got one?
Yeah, I have. It's actually Alan Rickman.
Oh yeah,
from the when he plays the sheriff of Nottingham.
Sorry, I didn't say the hammiest. I said
how dare you? There's a brigade of women now scoffing at you, good sir.
Why?
Because have we got any Alan Rickman? Have
from
a
Robin
listen
Hood?
To this.
Cancel the kitchen scraps for lepers and orphans. No more merciful beheadings. And call off Christmas.
Is that from Carry On England or something?
No, he's great. Or the other great villain of all time, of course, is Joan Crawford in Mummy Dearest.
Morgan's straight onto one that a lot of people have in their pantheon.
Morgan,
are you there?
Yep.
Hello, Morgan.
I'm here.
Yeah, good. I think you're reading a lot of people's minds. What are you going with, mate?
Heath Ledger's version of the Joker.
Heath Ledger's
version
of the Joker was truly
astonishing.
Have we got some of that?
Yeah, take a listen.
And why do you want to kill me? I don't want to kill you. What would I do without you? Go back to ripping off mob dealers? No. You complete me.
Whoa. Fantastic stuff.
Right.
We've got a few more to go. We've got some calls racked up. Give us a call, 133353.
Talking about your villains. Give us a ring now.
A drive home with a show motto is what could possibly go wrong. This is Kennedy Malloy.
Rami Malek is the new Bond villain. We're talking villains. You can get involved on Twitter, Instagram, or 133353.
It's an obvious one to do, but we just like it. Yeah. We like your feedback.
We're not villains.
That's your favourite movie villain of all time. Can I mention Jack Torrance?
Oh, yeah, Jack Torrance.
What The Shining.
Oh, yes.
All work and no play makes Jack a dull boy. I remember the first time I ever saw The Shining in a cinema, and because it's not like a monster film, it's a psychological.
Yeah.
I was a kid. That disturbed me.
Did it really? Changed you?
And
for
to
some
this
time.
Day.
Yeah. It explains a lot of my behaviour. Here's one no one has come up with yet. Mm-hmm. Darth Vader.
Oh,
now that's a pretty good when think of the top of the tree.
Yeah.
Have you got some Darth?
Yeah.
You have failed me for the last time, Admiral. Captain Piet.
Yes, my lord.
Make ready to land our troops beyond their energy field and deploy the fleet so that nothing gets off the system. You are in command now, Admiral Piet.
Thank you, Lord Vader.
Yes.
It's the best looking costume I've ever seen.
So.
It wins.
And Andy has the best entrance music.
Hey, I've got one too now.
I've got a guy who has that as his ringtone for when his girlfriend rings.
The Valkyries.
Imperial theme.
Hey, what have you got?
I've got one. It's the Wicked Witch of the West.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. I used to have nightmares about this woman from The Wizard of Oz. Have a listen to her.
You cursed brat! Look what you've done! I'm melting! Melting! Oh, what a world! What a world! Who would have thought a good little girl like you could destroy my beautiful wicked thing?
This is what I say when I get home from work.
Well, if you're gonna go down the witch path, what about Witchy Poo from?
Huff and Stuff.
All right, let's get it. Hey, quickly, we've had a call just drop out. Maria, phone was no good, but she said Mick from Wolf Creek.
Oh my god!
Oh, yeah.
Pretty frightening.
Almost
villain.
Method.
Yeah. That's not a stretch. okay, Luke's on deck. Luke, you want to talk about the ultimate movie villain?
The ultimate movie villain, Anthony Hopkins as Hannibal Lecter.
That would go close.
Correct.
That was frightening.
Have
at
we
the
got
cinema.
A little bit of him?
A census taker once tried to test me.
I ate his liver with some fava beans and a nice Chianti.
Good villain.
So he's got to be kind of a strange man to think of that.
Yeah.
That's weird.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm scared. I've got one for the chicks now. They'll love this next one. Anthony.
Yeah. Yes, hi.
I can't tell whether women really love this villain or really hate this villain.
Well, he was pretty bad from that movie, The Highlander.
The original Highlander, what a great film it was.
And the character of?
The Kargan.
Yeah, that's right.
Where he got into the church and he was like, hello, lady.
That's how Mick enters a pub every day.
did he meet the girl called Candy? And it's like, of course you are.
All right, Anthony, you seem to be enjoying this a bit too much.
Exactly, Anthony. But give him a prize, Dave. Yeah, good one.
We are going to give you a prize, you bet. Kennedy Malloy prize pack coming your way.
That's all we've got, I'm afraid. Well done. Glenn, what do you want to throw on the pile in the movie villain world?
Well, the pile, let's go Dick Dastardly from Wacky Races.
Dick Dastardly.
With Muttley.
Oh, I liked Muttley, but I hated Dick.
He was in the Tie 'Em to the Train Track School with a big twirly mo, wasn't it? He's your classic villain.
He had short man syndrome from memory.
Muttley laugh like a...
Yeah.
All right, Glenn, thanks for bringing that to our attention. Joseph's on the line. Joseph, who is a sinister character that you would like to drop in?
Without a doubt, that doppelganger of Saddam Hussein, better known as Gary Poole.
Gary Poole, played by Mick Malloy in Kath and Kim.
Gary Poole from Gary Poole's Pools.
Gary Poole from Gary... Oh, listen, I have to agree with you.
Gary was misunderstood.
No.
Gary was a good dad and a loving husband.
Debatable. Yeah. Have we got any audio of Gary?
Yeah,
let's
Gary.
Settle. You're not bumping uglies with my wife, are you, Kel?
Can it, bozo?
Easy, Tiger. Easy. Where is my breakfast? Come on, Kath. It's not bush week.
You pass Gary the cocoa bombs, please, Kel. I'll be in the shower.
I think that was all.
Gary Poole.
Bubbling away under
what
the surface.
What a villain.
He was a good
Again,
guy.
Again, method acting.
There was one day, me and Glenn, I think it was that scene, we had to come out for breakfast together.
Yeah.
And we were both wearing kimonos. And we were both... And
how
we were
did
both
you not wearing, just well, so we wet your each, pants laughing?
Looking at each other, trying to work out what the ideal width to have it open at the front was for comedy purposes.
That's funny.
We settled on an inch and a half.
Oh, really? Well, Glenn being the nudist that he is, I would imagine he wouldn't mind his wide open.
No, he went for it.
Did he? All right, let's go to Laura. Laura, you've got one, which I honestly was nervous getting in a car for weeks and, in fact, months after I saw the scene from this movie.
Yes, it's not a great one. So it's Robert De Niro from Cape Fear.
Oh, very, very good.
That is hideous.
You keep saying, just kill him. He's going to come back. Just kill him. Make sure he's really dead.
I love the scene in the cinema when he's smoking and laughing because all that behaviour is so inappropriate and the guy doesn't care. And he doesn't care. And the family, you're going,
he doesn't care. Hey, everyone, they're great calls. Thank you very much for that.
We could go on for hours. Send them in as socials and we might get to them at the end of the
you
show.
You got it. Hey, our week in review coming up next.
This is Kennedy Malloy.
We've been talking about some of the great villains of cinema. So many calls, so many tweets.
So much going on.
You do remind me a bit of Darth Vader when you walk down the corridors around here.
This is like, my music.
Where's my twisties?
Yeah. You've made a very powerful enemy, my friends.
Where's my Red Bull?
What about Bane?
Bane from League of Doom.
Mad Max.
Oh, yeah, okay.
He's pretty good. At? None of your business.
What do you got?
No, I'm just coming from my photographic memory.
Oh, for God's sake.
I just blow the whole myth of...
Oh, you're just off the top of your head.
Nah. Oh, hey, Glenn's on the line. Glenn, arch-villain, who's the best?
Siegfried from Maxwell Smart.
From Chaos in Maxwell
Siegfried.
Smart.
Yes.
My God.
One of the all-time great villains as well.
Well, there are a few good villains.
Andrew's on the line. Andrew, who would you like to nominate?
Hey, Mickey Jane, it's got to be Freddy Krueger.
Man. He's got to be a Hall of Famer, doesn't he, in the villain Hall of Fame.
So Freddy Krueger never ages either.
No. And he's very hard to kill. And the other one was Little Chucky. That is another one.
Oh, Chucky. Oh, Chucky. Oh, my God.
New movie coming out soon.
That's hideous.
Chucky,
Norman Bates. Did anyone come up with Norman Bates?
Oh, Norman Bates.
Yeah, that's creepy. Really good.
So creepy. He reminds me of you a little bit. Sorry, but clean shaven.
And you're
now,
like the mum, his mum.
I beg your
found
pardon.
Up in the attic looking a bit worse for wear.
Oh, you're happy with that, aren't you?
Funny.
Pretty happy with yourself right now, aren't you?
Jane, you had another one. What was yours?
No, I forget now. I'm
Game
so
of Thrones.
Oh,
you
Game
were
of Thrones.
Game
well,
of Thrones.
Try the Nightwalkers and everybody else. There's too many. What was the king? Who's the king?
Prince Joffrey.
Joffrey.
Oh,
Joffrey.
Yeah.
He is the best.
He was good. That is
the most ecstatic I've been watching someone slowly die.
Oh.
Watching
hey,
him to, oh, sorry, spoiler.
By the way, Game of Thrones gone.
No, it's not.
It's cooked.
Gone.
It's still huge.
Gone it's because it's the final
one
series.
One series too many. It's come
you
back.
You have no idea what you're talking about. Stop now. You're embarrassing
it's
yourself.
Come, it's come
Stop.
Back. There's no buzz.
There is heaps
there
of buzz.
Is buzz.
No one's talking about
because
it.
Because you don't, haven't watched it. It. Everyone's talking
overstayed
about it.
Overstayed their welcome. Oh, wait a check, please. Mm. Gone.
Oh, my God. God bless you.
Maths could be.
You're so sweet.
Game of Thrones. Hey, we're going to come back and bring this baby home. But before we do, time for the Week in Review.
A short week, but still full of shocks on Kennedy Malloy. We learnt the shocking reason Jane wasn't here.
Rehab.
Let's be honest.
Tell you what, we can save so much money on Sauvignon Blanc this week. Do you know what she's working on?
What's that?
Her bodybuilding body, like Barnaby Joyce's wife. You
oh,
know
is that right?
She was
oh, yeah, of course, that's right.
Jane's going to come back.
Yeah, she will. She'll be a MILF.
Sure.
She's going to
come cat in a bikini.
She will too.
Sit here and put us both in a headlock. It's kind of turning me on.
And it was a bit of a shock that Mick had been to see Dumbo.
Very good. It was
it?
A bit sad. There's an elephant and he flies. He's got big ears, but his mum leaves him. And I don't want to go into it because it did affect me.
Does he find his mum again though?
Oh, spoiler alert. What's wrong with you?
The movie. I'm just asking
it's the same
questions.
Plot of Game of Thrones, I believe.
Is that
the elephant turns up at the wall.
Did the boys
the good
it?
Guys are going, I didn't take the boys, I went on my...
It was not a shock that Mick's favourite story of the week involved three women caught having sex in the street after a boozy lunch.
Hellenica Restaurant, make a booking. You never know, you might like in.
That's it.
I'll have what they were having.
We heard about some shocking sporting performances.
This is actually intended bowling. I was given this once-in-a-lifetime chance to go and have a game with the world champion 10-pin bowler.
Oh, what?
Wow.
How'd you go?
I managed to just miss and miss and miss. I ended up with 27. He got 290.
Adam Rosenbach's had a bit of a rude shock.
I got my car service this morning, so I've only had the car for a year. So it was like the first yearly service.
Sure.
I take it in to get service. I get it home. I went to jump in the car to come here.
Yes.
Wouldn't start. Like just dead battery. And so because I don't know much about cars, I just torched it and I'll claim it on insurance tomorrow. But
and Limo told us a shocking story about life on the army base in Iraq.
They're hearing this like ting, ting, ting on the roofs of the buildings around them. And they're like, what's going on there? And then someone yells, falling bullets. And they all run inside because Iraq had just won a soccer tournament. They beat Syria. they beat Syria on penalties and they're celebrating by shooting guns in the air. And the falling bullets from that incident injured 64 people.
But the biggest shock this week, that there are lots of women out there who like the look of Mick Malloy.
Is Mick Malloy your hall pass? Because I want to get into the head.
It's been like a call centre for a telephone in here. The phones have been ringing off the hook.
I can get into their head. They're sitting in a pokies. They're on the 5 cent machine looking for an Ugg boot.
Who could resist those dulcet tones, that silky velvet voice? Ever since Cracker Jack.
Everyone loves a lawn bowls bad boy.
That's right. Many, many years ago, it all went back to degeneration days. Mick, you were a beautiful young man.
And not so happy with older Elvis?
No, it's true, unfortunately.
Oh, Megan.
Vegas Mick doesn't quite cut it. Debbie, is Mick Malloy your hall pass?
He wasn't, but after hearing this, I thought maybe if I set my sights low, I might be in with half a chance.
You're bang on target, Debbie.
Hey, Debbie, you're in.
This is Jane Kennedy and Mick Malloy.
Kennedy Malloy. Just about done for the week. I mean, it's been a short week, but it's been a great week.
You should have a lie down, Jane.
Yeah, you must be exhausted.
I was just saying it's been a massive week for you.
I'm feeling a bit tired.
Are you? What are you going to do the weekend?
I'm going to go to a soccer game. I'm going to go to a wedding. Oh, I'm going to wedding. Yeah. A wedding party.
Who's wedding?
Donna Aston, my friend. My personal trainer.
Good on her.
I have to let her down slowly, though, because I'm supposed to be about 20 kilos less than I am now. She's going to be very disappointed when she sees me. But never mind. It's all about her.
You haven't stuck to the program, have you?
No, I haven't. It's not about me. It's
about her.
It's her day. So I'm going to that. I've got another soccer match on Sunday morning.
Jeez.
All right. Well, get into it. Hey, let's talk about what people can do on the weekend. Yeah. And let's go around the grounds. We like to do this and go to all the capital cities. If you're in Brisbane, it's the Gabs Beer, Cider and Food Festival.
Oh,
that's
how
all your favourite things under the one roof.
One of the best places to go for that, the Brisbane Convention.
I love that convention
center. It's in such a good spot too. I love it.
170 festival beers and ciders made especially for Gabs each year by Australia and New Zealand's leading brewers. If you're not there, you're
missing out
from Brisbane.
Yeah. That sounds great.
I'd fly in for that.
Would you?
What's happening in Perth, Jane?
In Perth, the Kids Big Carnival at the Wanneroo Showgrounds on Saturday and Sunday, and you can go in, and all the rides and entertainment are free once you pay one fee at the door. So
plenty
you pay
to do.
One up.
Good idea. Lots of rides. So rides suitable for ages 2 to 13.
Yeah, so don't be 17 and a dickhead and go along, all right?
Oh, okay.
But don't be an idiot.
Hey, in Adelaide, see how you feel about this. It's a busking festival. It's from Friday the 26th, Sunday the 28th. Take plenty of coin.
Be amazing.
It's in Light Square, Adelaide. Well, you know what? Some of our greatest performers have come from street performing.
I know, they have.
And we've all done it. In our passage to where we are today. Over 50 performers, including award-winning musicians, circus acts, child prodigies, street theatre and magic.
Child prodigies, they might be a bit...
Give the magic a miss.
Annoying.
Record-breaking stumps, contortion, dancing, puppeteering.
And quickly, in Sydney, you can see Daniel Sloss and his show called X at the Enmore Theatre in Newtown, SydneyComedyFestival.com.au. That's going to be amazing.
And in Melbourne, the Food Truck Festival, Birrung Ma. That's always great. More than 40 food trucks to choose from. Oh, what a convoy.
Yeah.
Oh, look, that's my favourite thing.
Me too.
40 food trucks in a row.
Can you imagine?
I'm going to hotwire one.
I want a food truck at home every night.
How good?
Well, you're going to need one because you can't cook. Would you look after your hair?
Yeah, I will look after my hair.
Would you like me to tend to it?
No, I'm going to take the bandage off over the week and I'll just come in with a few Band-Aids. But it's really unattractive
to
look
sore?
At.
It's like leprosy.
Yes, it's sore.
All right, stop going on about it.
Just
yes, I haven't. You brought it up again. Hey, next week we have got huge. Wait for this. It's Hamish Blake, Dave O'Neill, Annie Lee, Charlie Pickering, and hello, ladies and men. Rob Thomas Matchbox 20 will be performing live. Rob Thomas is playing on this show.
Will you behave?
Yeah.
You're not going to go all Kevin Peterson on us, are you?
Or Ryan Girdler, you don't want to go.
Oh, Ryan Girdler, that was one I'll never forget.
I pick.
Who else? You lose it. You're in trouble, Dave.
You told me to do it. We'll see you Monday.
Now I know who supports me and who does.
The drive home that's always surprising. This is Kennedy Malloy.